How will Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrange to show his mercy to the king? Not if he will show his mercy. The question is how. And when Krishna does something, he always does it in an extraordinary way. And he accomplishes many things by his one act. And one of the things that he's accomplishing by his act of giving amazing mercy, unlimited mercy to Maharaj Pataparudra, is that he's instructing us on how we should proceed in our own Krishna consciousness. But even in a deeper sense, he's just giving us something wonderful to talk about and think about. Otherwise, if we don't talk and think about Krishna, our minds will drag us all over the universe. All over the universe. From one planet to another, from one twig of the universal tree to another, and the center of all our talking and thinking will be our own insignificant selves, which, if one thinks about it, is ridiculous. If we talk and think about the unlimited, who possesses unlimited good qualities and unlimited beauty, unlimited expertise, then our happiness will be unlimited. And if we talk about our insignificant selves continuously, no matter how much fuel we put on that talk with our attention, we will only get insignificant happiness. Because it's so unnatural, actually. It's so unnatural. So, without giving a long summary, Nityananda Prabhu and the devotees have approached Mahaprabhu on Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's request. Again, because the king has threatened to give up his kingdom, become a mendicant. He's already threatened to, saying my life has no value. His desire is so intense. He's feeling his life has no value. And Mahaprabhu still has remained somewhat obstinate. His heart has not fully melted, although it has certainly been softened by the concerns of the devotees, the desires of the devotees. And then Nityananda Prabhu makes a suggestion that Mahaprabhu won't see the king, and yet the king will remain living. And he says, if you, my lord, speaking to Mahaprabhu, right in the presence of Mahaprabhu, if you, by your mercy, send one of your outer garments, like your light chadar, bahirvasa, your light chadar, to the king, the king would live, because at least he'll have some hope that your favor is upon him, that you're not neglecting him, that your favor is upon him, and that at some future time he'd be able to see you. So this is one of the main teachings, actually, of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this Tadiyanam Samacharam, that those things that are in contact with the Lord, they are even more worshipful, or is equally worshipful, as the Lord himself. In fact, Mahaprabhu taught all the devotees to honor the garlands of the Lord. He respected them, and not only the garlands of the Lord, but also the Lord's Mahaprasadam. Now, to show you how, or to demonstrate how important this is in Krishna consciousness, and how we, I would like to read something from the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, something that Uddhava says. Now, Uddhava, this is a very sad part of the Bhagavatam, or this is the beginning of the sad part of the Bhagavatam, where before Krishna actually departs from this world, and the 11th canto is basically about that. But there have been many evil omens in Dwarka. And Krishna says that these are unstoppable. And they show that in the future, Dwarka is going to be destroyed. But there is something that we can do to stop it. This is Krishna saying. He says we should all go to Prabhas, Prabhachetra. All the members, or almost all the members of the Yadu dynasty, should go to Prabhas. And there we should perform sacrifices. We should give in charity. It's a holy place by the ocean. And therefore, and by doing this, we will mitigate this difficulty which will otherwise mean our destruction. So the members of the Yadu dynasty, heeding Krishna's words and then even speaking about it, they decide to go to Prabhas. And while all these arrangements are being made, Uddhava, who is extremely intelligent, and who has pierced to the deepest point of Krishna's intention for directing the devotees to Prabhas, he in a private place approaches Krishna. And he says to Krishna, O Lord, if you want, you can stop all these, any difficulty from coming to Dwarka. After all, he doesn't say this, but after all, every difficulty that was attacking Vrindavan, you immediately, personally destroyed. So I think, Uddhava says, there's a different purpose behind you doing this, bringing all your family members and all the Yadus to Prabhas. And my Lord, I think it is time for you to wind up, to end your pastimes on earth. And O Krishna, please don't leave me here. I don't want to be here without you. Now, Uddhava, Uddhava continues. O Keshava, my dear master, I cannot tolerate giving up your lotus feet for even a fraction of a moment. I urge you to take me along with you to your own abode. Oh, my dear Krishna, your pastimes are supremely auspicious for mankind, and they are an intoxicating beverage for the ear. And tasting such pastimes, people forget their desires for other things. Because in the material world, all our material activities, they have a flavor, they have a taste, and that taste does not satisfy us. And on the other hand, hearing of Krishna's wonderful pastimes creates a uniquely sweet fragrance, a beverage that intoxicates one in the sense that one forgets everything, ultimately, about all the very important material things that have to be done by then. The whole to-do list gets and then he says, Twaya upabukta shraganda vaso ganda charchita uchista bojino dashas tavamayam jayemahi tavamayam jayemahi. That there are different processes of freeing ourselves from the material world. And later on, in a few moments, he's going to describe some of those processes. How naked sadhus who are very seriously engaged in their spiritual practices, they are peaceful, they are sincere, they're sinless, and they engage in incredible austerities in the Himalayan mountains, being completely renounced, breaking forcibly their connection with the modes of material nature. These people achieve the spiritual realm. They achieve Brahman. But Twayo Upamukta Shraganda, we, my dear Lord, have a completely different process. That we just take shrag ganda, the fragrances and the garlands that have adorned your body, the vaso, the cloth, and the ornaments, charchita, that have decorated you. And Uddhava himself used to wear the clothes of Krishna. He was a prince himself, but he would wear the vaso remnants. And when the gopis saw him, when he came to Vrindavan, they thought, this is Krishna. Look, he looks like him. He's even dressed exactly like Krishna, because he was wearing Krishna's prasadam cloth remnants. And uchista bojino dashas. Dashas means, we your servants, by tasting the uchista, the remnants of the food that you have already eaten, tava maya, your illusory energy, this ocean of illusion, jayemahi, we will conquer, we will cross. Tava mayam jayemahi, we will certainly cross it. By this process, this simple process of deeply associating with and taking shelter of Krishna through his remnants. It is so powerful because they are not different from Krishna. But of course, it depends on the consciousness by which one associates with these items. Kamsa saw Krishna. He personally saw Krishna, and he didn't see Krishna at all, because his consciousness was pratikul, against Krishna. He hadn't taken shelter of Krishna, so he didn't experience Krishna, even though Krishna was directly in front of his eyes. We see with our consciousness. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, during his later pastimes, he and the devotees were given some Jagannath Mahaprasadam, and Mahaprabhu went mad. He said, look at this prasadam. This is made from the ingredients that we have all seen. There is flour, there is cardamom spice, there is this spice, there is this. We've all seen this, but this taste is nothing of this world. And the fragrance is nothing of this world, because it has been touched by Krishna's lips. Ada Amrita. The Adara Amrita, the nectar of Krishna's lips. And Prabhupada has one purport in the Bhagavatam where he describes this, that the devotees, the taste of the prasadam, they are tasting the nectar of Krishna's saliva, he says, when they are tasting prasadam. So this vision is not of this world, this consciousness is not of this world, and the results of this type of consciousness is also not of this world, and it carries us, tavamayam jayamahi, certainly beyond the influence of the material energy. So Mahaprabhu honored prasadam in that way. And and Uddhava honored, spoke about the remnants of Krishna in that way. I'll just read just another verse or two that Uddhava said, because there are such powerful instructions. And this is, he's telling the process of Krishna consciousness to always keep oneself in contact by consciousness with Krishna. You know, just simply by decorating ourselves with the garlands, the fragrant oils, cloths, and ornaments that you have already enjoyed. And by eating the remnants of your meals, we, your servants, will indeed conquer the illusory energy. And then that is the beginning of the Uddhava Gita, where Krishna, for many, many, many chapters of the 11th canto, practically the entire 11th canto, he instructs Uddhava on how to be in this world and not of this world. So Nityananda Prabhu made that suggestion. We will, with your permission, by your mercy, we can give the king one of your garments, Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu replied, since you are all learned personalities, whatever you decide, I shall accept. And then Nityananda Prabhu received from Govinda an external garment, and he delivered it through Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to the king. And how did the king treat it? When the king received the old cloth, he began to worship it exactly as he would worship the Lord personally. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The cloth and other paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are but other forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Everything connected to the Lord, to Dhyanam, so Mount Shuddham, is worshipable. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs us that just as Krishna is worshipable, Krishna's place, Vrindavan, is also worshipable. And as Vrindavan is worshipable, similarly, the paraphernalia of Vrindavan, the trees, the roads, the river, everything is worshipable. A pure devotee of the Lord, a pure devotee thus sings, Jai Jai Vrindavana Vasi, Vrindavana Vasi, Jato Jan. All glories to the residents of Vrindavan. Prabhupada continues, if a devotee has a staunch, fixed and firm devotional attitude, all these conclusions will be awakened or revealed within the heart. By devotion, by our giving ourselves to Krishna, then what did Prabhupada say? These conclusions? Yes. So we do our part, offer to Krishna, and then Krishna does his part as he so desires, of revealing everything to us. This is the process of Krishna consciousness. We do our part sincerely with devotion, trying our very best to please Krishna. And then we leave the rest to Krishna. And by his desire, in his time. Otherwise, prematurely we want to do things, we want to be something without the proper consciousness, it's not possible. It's not possible. So we need grace from Krishna, his causeless mercy. We need to act in such a way that attracts his causeless mercy. And then we have to be patient. Now, end of that segment. Now more about... So Sarva Bhoma Bhattacharya has instigated this one. And then on the other side, the king has Ramananda Roy also working. So there's a little summary, because this is the 12th chapter, there's a little summary of... Because this is, we've read the 10th, 11th, and now in the 12th chapter. So it's chapter by chapter, the king and his dealings with Mahaprabhu through the devotees are being revealed. So there's a little summary of Ramananda Roy's dealings with Mahaprabhu and how he's been pushing him. So Ramananda Roy informed Sri Chaitanya about the ecstatic love of the king. Indeed, as soon as there was some opportunity, he repeatedly informed the Lord about the king. He would tell him again and again how much the king loves him. Ramananda Roy was indeed a diplomatic minister for the king. His general behavior was very expert. And simply by describing the king's love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he gradually softened the Lord's mind. And Prabhupada speaks in his purport about diplomacy, or rajniti, or really it means a proper, careful way of dealing according to time and circumstances to get what you want done, accomplished. So Prabhupada explains that diplomacy, or this careful way of almost clever dealings, it also has its place in the service of the Lord. And indeed, everything has its place in the service of the Lord. And everything should and must be used in the service of Krishna. And this is the mood of Braja. The mood of Braja is so simple. It is love. It is love for Krishna. And Krishna is the center. And the residents of Vrindavan will do anything in everything for Krishna's pleasure. As we heard, they're willing to give up their lives 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times to save Krishna some difficulty. Their mood is fully and intensely focused on Krishna, and it's completely natural, it's completely spontaneous, and it is completely full of love for Krishna, and that is the cause of its spontaneous nature. It naturally flows, completely naturally flows to Krishna, because it is springing from the depths of their consciousness. It is not artificially imposed on their consciousness. They don't have to think about it. What should we do? Should I make advancements? Should I try to act and please Krishna? It's flowing from the it's permeating every... In fact, this is what they are. Their siddhadeya, their spiritual form, is this. It's a manifestation of their love for Krishna. This is what they are. They are lovers of Krishna. And there's nothing else in existence for them. They just see Krishna. Stavaram jagamam deki na deki taramoti. They see everything in relationship to Krishna. This is pure love for Krishna. And these two little pastimes of Srila Prabhupada I didn't witness. They were very, very, very early after he first came to New York, but I heard about them. That one time, Prabhupada was the devotees were taking him. They didn't have a place yet, practically speaking, for a temple, and they were showing him different big buildings, and they saw one big building. Or Prabhupada even wanted to see it, what was the Watchtower building, some religious organization, this huge building where they printed, and Prabhupada, their literature, and Prabhupada was looking at that and noting that, yes, we need something like this, because his mind was on his literature and distributing books, a huge building. His vision was like that. He was looking and seeing how everything could be used. And then another incident, there was an eccentric, something like piano player who used to visit 22nd Avenue, and they would have wild kirtans. And this gentleman, he would play the inside of the piano, not the keys, but he would bang on the strings, bang on them like this. So he was holding a concert in one of the most prestigious halls, somehow or another, in New York, Carnegie Hall. So he invited Prabhupada to come. And Prabhupada, amazingly enough, went by subway. And then after boom, 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 a few people were in the hall, and he was banging on the strings of the piano, and it was quite discordant, I'm sure. And Prabhupada stayed for the first half, and the man acknowledged that Prabhupada had been there, and then Prabhupada went back and to his residence, and the devotees asked him, Prabhupada, why did you go to this peculiar musical event? And Prabhupada replied, I wanted to see Carnegie Hall, to see if it would be suitable for a temple. His vision was unlimited, and as much as Krishna gave him, his vision would expand. So the devotees in Vrindavan, or the Vrindavan devotees, they have that type of vision. They don't see anything but Krishna. So, what was the impelling force behind Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and all the devotees and Ramananda Roy? They're pushing and pushing and pushing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is pushing them? Listen to this verse. Maharaj Prataparudra, in great anxiety, this is what was pushing them. He could not endure not seeing the Lord. He could not endure, he could not tolerate being separate from the Lord. And this is the key in understanding, this key in understanding this point is what causes Krishna to appear. And this understanding allows us to understand the leelas in Vrindavan, what Krishna is doing. And it allows us to understand how and why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is dealing with Ramananda Roy in this way. Because in Vrindavan, the residents of Vrindavan, they cannot tolerate a moment without Krishna's separation, without Krishna's presence. The blinking of their eyes causes them unlimited anxiety. This type of love, can we even conceive of it? No, we cannot with material consciousness, because we do, in this world there is the reflection of love, there is lust. Atma Indriya Priti, not Krishna Indriya Priti. The blinking of their eyes, just try to conceive of how much love that would be, that your eye blink causes you anxiety because you cannot see your beloved. So, the fire of the love for the devotee for the Lord has to increase to that degree before Krishna will show himself to the devotee. And that feeling separation from Krishna, I cannot be without him. I cannot be without him when the flames of love are burning like that. I cannot be without Krishna. I cannot be without him. My life is burning up without Krishna. When the flames of our love are burning like that, it opens up. That is called Varaha Bhav. It opens up a channel, a pathway directly to the uppercut lila of Krishna, to the spiritual world. And therefore, Vrindavanam Pratyaja Padamekam Nagachati, that Krishna is always in Vrindavan. When Uddhava came to Vrindavan, it describes the separation of the residents of Vrindavan, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes that the cowherd boys and all the others, practically speaking, they weren't even experiencing separation from Krishna. Because for them, Krishna was always present. Because there's a whole other realm. There is another realm beyond the veil of Vrindavan. We can see out here, those on this side, we can see that there is a realm behind the curtain. And we cannot see it so clearly because of the curtain is blocking our eyes. The curtain of Maya blocks our eyes. But we can perceive that something is there shining through. That's the experience we get if we have some fortune when we come to Vrindavan. Something hidden, something fragrant and unlimitedly sweet shines through the thin veil covering the holy Dham of Vrindavan. There is so much more behind what I can see. So through love and separation, that curtain is lifted. Not sentiment in the sense of something shallow, but the real thing, actually loving Krishna, actually missing him, and actually not being able to stay separate from him for a moment. The separation of not being able to tolerate being separate is what causes the curtain to lift and us to be in the presence of Krishna. So the residents of Vrindavan, mostly when Krishna had gone to Mathura, they weren't experiencing separation, but Nanda Maharaj and the Braja Gopikas and Mother Yashoda, they were burning. They could not eat. They did not eat. When Uddhava came, Mother Yashoda wouldn't speak to him even. Not wouldn't, but couldn't. Nanda Maharaj, there was no cooking. There was nothing to offer the guest of Uddhava in the house of Nanda Maharaj and Nanda Bhavan. There was nothing to order. He had to go and ask someone, could you give me some sweet rice or something that's suitable to give to Uddhava? To Uddhav? Because he's a guest. Mother Yasoda couldn't even come out of her internal consciousness enough to do that. King, in great anxiety, could not endure not seeing the Lord. Therefore, Ramananda Roy, by his diplomacy, arranged a meeting with the Lord for the king in response to his deepening, deep and deepening, increasing inability to endure separation from Krishna. Instead, what do I do when I feel lonely or this or that or this or that? I download my emails for the 30th time in the last 2 hours, or I open up the refrigerator, or I who knows what, where my crazy, foolish, rascal mind will go, instead of to the realization that this being separate from Krishna is, and even if I don't even care, I should know that, I must take something that's going to increase the fire and not pour water on the little spark that I do have. Immediately, when there is sincere desire, the Dham, the devotees, the internal energy, immediately Krishna reciprocates when there is true sincerity, or again, I'll edit out the word true, when there is sincerity. And then Ramananda Roy, he just said it to Mahaprabhu, please show your lotus feet to the king at least once. My dear Ramananda, Mahaprabhu replied, you should make this request only after considering whether it is befitting for a sannyasi to meet a king. If a mendicant meets a king, this world and the next world are both destroyed for the mendicant. This world, because everyone's going to criticize him, what will be the use of his preaching? And the next world, because his consciousness will become polluted and he won't be able to achieve the exalted consciousness that he so much desires. In this world, people will joke if a sannyasi meets a king. Ramananda Roy replied, my lord, you are the supreme independent personality. You have nothing to fear from anyone because you're not dependent on anyone. And as soon as Ramananda said that the Lord, that Mahaprabhu was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he said, I am not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am an ordinary human being. Therefore, I must fear public opinion in three ways. My body must make sure that there is none. My mind must make sure there is no reason to criticize. And my words must make sure. And as soon as the general public find a little fault in the behavior of a sannyasi, they advertise it like wildfire. And then sannyas alpa chidra sava loki gai, a small alpa chidra, a little fault, a little black spot of ink cannot be hidden on a white cloth. It is always prominent. So this was Mahaprabhu's reply. And Ramananda replied, my dear Lord, you have delivered so many sinful people. This king, Prataparudra, the king of Orissa, is actually a servant of the Lord, of Lord Jagannath. And he is also your servant. And Mahaprabhu replied, he still wasn't giving in. There may be much milk in a big pot, but if it is contaminated by a drop of liquor, it is untouchable. The king certainly possesses all good qualities, but simply by taking up the name king, he has infected everything. So Mahaprabhu, his heart is really not in what he's saying, but he's saying it anyway. But, he says usually, when someone says, oh, I'm so full and I have no good qualities. But, there is one thing. Usually when people say, but, you just forget everything they say before and you just hear what they really want to tell you. So it's the same here, in a sense. So he's saying so many things, what he really wants to say is, but if you are still very eager for the king to meet me, please first bring his son to meet me. It is indicated in Shastra that the Son represents the Father. Therefore, the Son's meeting with me would be just as good as the King's meeting me. This also happened when Lord Balaram, with some kusa grass, killed who? Rama Harsan. And then, who was installed on the Vyasasan to speak? Rama Harsan Sutta, the son of Rama Harsan, who is who? Sutta Goswami. And he was blessed by all the devotees. And they said, Balaram said, and they all said, the son is when the son is speaking, it is as good as the father is speaking. So then, Ramananda Roy, so Mahaprabhu gave a concession. So what's happening? First it was no, then some cloth, now the sun. So the cloth is being worshipped as Krishna. Now what's going to happen when Mahaprabhu deals with the son of the king? He went to inform the king, and he brought the king's son to see him. And the prince, just entering upon his youth, was very beautiful. He was blackish in complexion, and he had large eyes that were like lotuses. The prince was dressed in yellow cloth, and there were jeweled ornaments decorating his body. And anyone who saw him would immediately remember Krishna. And seeing the boy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately remembered Krishna. And meeting the boy in ecstatic love, the Lord began to speak. So Mahaprabhu is looking for different ways to show increasing amounts of mercy, to bestow increasing, stronger, more potent mercy to the king, based on the king's increasing desire, and increasing desire to serve, to be with Krishna, to be Krishna conscious, to be Krishna conscious. That is our part. And Krishna's part is his business. But he wishes all of us, to increase our desire to come to him. And he's ever willing to bestow mercy upon us that will increase our desires further. And we should deal with life in that way. Easy to say, not so easy to do. But we should really understand Krishna's hand. This is Jivateyo Mukti Pade Sadayavak. This is the qualification for going home. Lord Brahma says, and Mahaprabhu quotes, is that we learn the art of seeing Krishna's hand in everything. Jivateyo Mukti Pade Sadayavak. And whatever happens, seeing Krishna, not superficially, especially we hit someone else on the hammer, with a hammer on the head, and they, what? Krishna's mercy, Prabhu. Not like that. But seeing, accepting that actually, if we give ourselves to Krishna, if we surrender to him and place ourselves in his charge, that he is not going to neglect us, that he has written our name in his book, Sakrid Evapanam Yas Tava Smiti Chayachate Abhayam Sarvada Tasmai Dadam Yetad Vritamama, Krishna's promise. If we called out to him one time, our name is written in the book, his book. One time. If we've done a little bit of service, even unconsciously, even if we've done it unconsciously, done something spiritual, without even knowing it's spiritual, he doesn't forget that. What to speak of someone who's trying to chant, trying to distribute Krishna's mercy, someone making a sincere prayer, someone offering something, someone undergoing some austerity for the pleasure of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Someone, what to speak of someone chanting Krishna's names with some sincerity, serving with some sincerity. Krishna doesn't forget. He is not ungrateful. The Braja Gopis actually accuse Krishna of being kritagraha, ungrateful. And in the end, after seeing the things in his perspective, they were thinking, oh, it is we who are ungrateful. And this is usually the case. I've seen this. That whatever is disturbing you about how Krishna is dealing with you, reflect that upon yourself and seeing who is being ungrateful. Or who is not, he's neglecting me. But who is neglecting who, usually? He's not treating me the way I deserve. Who is not treating who the way they deserve? He's not giving me what he should give me. Who is not giving who what they did? After all I've done for him, after all, who has done for who? I've supplied you all the air that you have used for breathing. After all, Krishna, I've allowed your food to digest. So this, the mind sometimes gives us, sometimes perhaps, maybe a little trouble sometimes. So Mahaprabhu said, here is a great devotee. And upon seeing him, everyone can remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda. Because he was seeing the son of King Prataparudra, and he was seeing the son of Maharaj Nanda. And immediately, he felt so obliged, because you have reminded me of Krishna. Something simple in one sense. Just by his existence, he did something by his existence. He reminded Mahaprabhu of Krishna. This is the nature of our Lord. And he became obliged to him. Draupadi called out one time, Hey Govinda, with a full heart, and Krishna said he cannot get her words, stop her words from echoing in his mind. He could not forget her call to him. This is the mentality of our Lord. Who is ungrateful? Who? And then, I've become much obliged just by seeing this boy. And the Lord again embraced the prince. And as soon as the prince was touched by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, symptoms of ecstatic love immediately manifested themselves in the prince's body. He began to perspire. His body began to tremble. Tears began to pour from his eyes. He became stunned. And his body was filled with jubilation, ecstasy. Now, many devotees were witnessing that. And they all became so happy. They saw the boy cry, dance, and chant, Krishna, Krishna. And on seeing the boy, filled with such ecstasy. All the devotees praised him for his great spiritual fortune. They didn't become... This is a mark of someone who is a devotee, or even or ready to increase his devotion, when he sees that Krishna's special mercy descends on another devotee, regardless of that person's qualification or disqualification. According to my estimation, we should be happy and not envious. Why did he? I'm more fallen than him. In Prabhupada's purport, not to this verse, but two before that, and oh, watch the rascal mind. When you see someone able to do something, watch the rascal mind, what it will do. And then, this is one conclusion, yeah. If we say, whoops, I guess that means I'm not actually a devotee, because I've just seen the nature of my wicked, wicked mind, then we've at least taken a step towards humility. So either we're free from envy or we're humble, we'll be okay if we become conscious. If we become conscious. And Prabhupada in its purport, why? Because you can ask, well, why did he give the king? Why did he give the king's son this mercy? And one could even ask why he didn't give it to me. And Prabhupada quotes here from the Katha Upanishad, and I'll just read the simple translation. The Supreme Lord, and it is important to keep this in mind, because the devotees are requesting, the devotees are requesting, the devotees are requesting, and Krishna is, and Mahaprabhu, he's giving, but in his own way. But the Supreme Lord is not obtained by expert explanations, meaning by some speaking or in any way, by vast intelligence, nor even by much hearing. He is obtained only by one whom he himself chooses. To such a person he manifests his own form. This is what we mean by causeless mercy. We can do our part. We can do our part, and we should and must do our part, but we cannot, we can attract Krishna's mercy. We can do our best to attract Krishna's mercy, but we cannot force it. We are completely dependent upon him. Prabhu, we have moved it here. Then move it over, please. Move it out of yourself. Then Mahaprabhu calmed the youth and ordered him to come there daily to meet him. Then they departed from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Ramananda Roy took the boy back to the king's palace. And the king was very happy when he heard of his son's activities. He also wasn't envious. And just by embracing his son, by contacting the Tadiya, the king was filled with ecstatic love. He wasn't envious, and he contacted that which had been touched by Mahaprabhu. He was filled with ecstatic love, just as if he had touched Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly. And since then, the fortunate prince was one of the most intimate devotees of the Lord. Just from the end of Prabhupada's purport here. On the previous day, the boy was simply an ordinary prince. And the next day, he was counted as one of the topmost devotees of the Lord. This was all made possible by the causeless mercy of the Lord. The Lord is omnipotent, all-powerful, and almighty, and he can act as he likes. How do you feel when you hear that? Hopeless or hopeful? Huh? Endless hope and endless hopelessness. So what a mixture. I mean, that's karuna nahoybe kandia kandia. That, oh Lord, if we combine these two emotions in relationship to Krishna, unlimited hopelessness and unlimited hope, and just put them into our chanting, then Krishna will rain some special mercy on us. Kandiya kandiya means I'm crying, running behind you. Without your mercy, by myself, I am hopeless. Without your mercy, I have no hope. But when I hear, there's this one verse by Srila Rupa Goswami, and I don't have it in front of me, but he says something to the effect of, when I hear of the great austerities and the difficult practices that the great Vaishnavas in the past have undergone, I feel completely hopeless. But when I hear that you are Kripa Sindhu, that you are an unending ocean of mercy, and that the waves of your mercy splash down to the most fallen, my heart is cooled by a drop of hope. Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acts in the society of his pure devotees, performing his pastimes and spreading the Sankirtan movement. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. What would we do without Krishna Katamamrita? Patita Pavana, the most merciful Lord. Different key. Okay. No problem. O Lord Yadavendra, I am fallen. When I remember your name as Dinabandhu, the friend of the fallen, I become encouraged. And when I hear that you are Bhakta Vatsal, the lover of your devotees, my heart trembles. O Lord, no one is more merciful than you. And no one is more pathetic than I. I am lowly. I am fallen. O Lord Yadanath, please reflect on my case and do to me whatever is appropriate. Beaten by the 100 whips of material sufferings, the horse of my mind runs wildly on the bad road of my senses. O Lord Madhava, please pull up the reins of devotional service. Please stop the horse and tie it to the post of your lotus feet. O Lord, in this birth I have not meditated on you. I have not glorified you. I have not even slightly worshipped you. I have not developed any devotion for your lotus feet. And that is why I suffer in this condition. I am very poor. I am very fallen. O Sri Krishna, O ocean of mercy, please be compassionate on me. I have no goal in life and I have committed countless sins. O Lord Hari, O Murari, you are my shelter. O Madhusudanan, O Vasudev, O Vishnu, all glories to you. O Jagadisha, please protect me. Please protect me. The pastime continues. There's in the specific pastimes of Ma Prataparudra's delivery, this continues in the 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th chapters. And I think I might have to rush a little bit too much if I try to complete them. So we'll end that aspect right here. But I'd like to read, continue from this 12th chapter and reach the end of it, because the remainder of this chapter is very wonderful and also leads to tomorrow morning's class by His Grace Gopi Pranadana Prabhu. Now, after Mahaprabhu had these exchanges with the prince, Mahaprabhu had a very important desire, and through this desire he wanted to teach us. Because the next day, tomorrow, was the Rath Yatra ceremony. And 2 weeks before, the Lord had been bathed. And when the Lord is bathed at Snanayatra, his paints that cover his lotus-like face, they smear. And then for the next 2 weeks, just leading up to Rath Yatra, the Lord is redecorated, repainted, restored in that sense. And then the Rath Yatra takes place. So this is just the day before the Rath Yatra. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a very deep desire, and that desire was to clean the Gundicha temple. Now, the Gundicha temple is where Lord Jagannath travels to, and Mahaprabhu revealed that this temple actually represents Vrindavan in his most amazing revelation of the meaning of Rath Yatra, the bringing of Krishna back to Vrindavan, because without Vrindavan, the pastimes of Radha and Krishna cannot take place. So how important is Vrindavan? And this is, Madhavananda Prabhu is revealing this in the 82nd chapter, the Kurukshetra chapter, and this is what Rath Yatra is, the heart of Rath Yatra. It is the heart of Srimati Radharani. Mahaprabhu is revealing it. So before the heart can be ready to enter Vrindavan, like the Gundicha temple, it has to be cleansed. There is a long description of this, and it is very wonderful. Our heart must be cleansed. We cannot enter Vrindavan with, I cannot enter Vrindavan with this contaminated heart. This is the message that we have been reading about and hearing about, and also all the speaking is about, Maharaj is speaking on Mana Shiksha, is on this point only. It is to bring us to Vrindavan. It is to remove the rough things, because Vrindavan is Chintamani Dham, the things that are incompatible. We need to have, conditionally, if we want to be in Vrindavan, our heart must be of the right quality. It must be attuned in desires to the hearts of the residents of Vrindavan, those who are already in Vrindavan serving Krishna. They know what is pleasing to Krishna. They are the masters of this. They are ragatmika. They are filled with rag. They are filled with deep absorption and attachment, of love-filled consciousness of just Krishna, Krishna. Their ecstasies are unbounded. They are even greater than Krishna's ecstasies. But the heart nevertheless must be cleansed. So the pastime of the cleansing of the Gundicha temple is described in this 12th chapter. And there is one verse that has a very long purport which Srila Prabhupada quotes extensively from the comments of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We won't read it all. We'll read a short part of it. And in summary, Prabhupada explains that cleansing the heart, we first have to chant Krishna's names. And there's unlimited levels that we can chant. And we must hear Srimad Bhagavatam. We must hear the glories of Krishna. And then our heart will be purified. And we will stop thinking of our own glories. The crazy mind will become purified. And it will stop this crazy cycle of feeling terrible and awful and horrible, and then in one second flipping over and criticizing everyone else for not understanding how great we are, and then getting all this and then going the other way. This is the insanity of the rascal mind that we're pleading with. So the cure is the chanting, the cure is service, the cure is hearing the glories of Krishna, of taking ourselves out of the center. And Prabhupada explains onward that Krishna will help us. That is the meaning of Srinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtan Rajantisto Yabhadrani. He will do the removing. If we become eager, he will clean the heart. If we desire to travel on the road to Vrindavan, he will clean the heart if we desire this. Then everything has to be removed. All the artificialness, all the impositions, the falsity that are imposed on the consciousness, it must be removed until we come to the level of Anya Abhilashita Sanyam. Clean heart. The subtle desires, those difficult desires, this upasaka gan, the weeds that come up with our devotional creeper, they too must be removed. Yat pratishtari yata, the desire for one's own, the subtle thoughts that come in, even when we're in the service to Krishna, when we're trying to serve the Vaishnavas and Krishna, but there's subtly desires for myself to be in the center still. Must be removed. We must give ourselves to Krishna to be in Braja. Not must in the sense we don't have a choice, but if we want to be in Vrindavan, we don't have a choice because the visa requirements are very strict. And the prime one before they'll even accept, hear anything from you is Anya Abhilashita Sanyam, except by Mahaprabhu's mercy. The subtle desires must be removed too. So, just a little we'll read. To give us practical instruction, these are Srila Prabhupada's words, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cleansed the temple twice. His second cleansing was more thorough. Because after a while, we know the basics and we can do this and that, but we sometimes let the subtle things remain in the heart. And these subtle things, desires, keep us from what we truly want. So the second cleansing is more thorough. The fine dirt has to be removed. The idea was to throw away all the stumbling blocks. It is not just torturing ourselves and making us different from all the other folks who are happily wandering in their way in the material world, but it's to remove all the stumbling blocks on the path of devotional service. He cleansed the temple with firm conviction. as is evident from using his own personal garment for cleansing. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to see personally that the temple was thoroughly cleansed as clean as marble. Clean marble gives a cooling effect. Devotional service means attaining peace from all disturbances caused by material contamination. In other words, it is the process by which the mind is cooled. The mind can be peaceful and thoroughly cleansed when one no longer desires anything but devotional service. Is it possible? When our attraction to Krishna increases, that will force, it will make necessary that which is otherwise impossible to achieve. Therefore, chanting, association, hearing about Krishna, the Dham, the deity, but the consciousness must be there. Let me do this for your pleasure. The devotees, let me do this for your pleasure. Let me for one time in my life do something without this selfish yet insignificant person imagining himself as so important. Let me do something for another. Even though all dirty things may be cleansed away, sometimes subtle desires remain in the mind for impersonalism, monism, success, and the four principles of religious activities. And all these are like spots on a clean cloth. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also wanted to cleanse all these away. By his practical activity, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu informed us how to cleanse our hearts. And once the heart is cleansed, we should invite Lord Sri Krishna to sit down and we should observe the festival by distributing prasad and chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Now, more cleansing went on. Then after Mahaprabhu cleansed the Gundicha temple with the devotees, they cleansed the Nrisinga temple. And then they had big congregational chanting. And many, many pastimes were described. Wonderful chanting, and the Dvaitacharya's son passed away and Mahaprabhu brought him to life. And then they sat down to take prasadam. And the devotees, Mahaprabhu began interacting with his devotees. And he was glorifying the devotees. He was praising them. He was appreciating their good qualities. He had funny exchanges with them. And the devotees, Swarup Damodar and Jagannanda, Mahaprabhu said, I will only take a little bit of prasadam. Just a little simple prasadam of Jagannath. Because sometimes Jagannath's prasadam is very opulent. He said, just give me simple prasadam. That's all I want. And then Jagannanda took some very opulent prasadam and quickly put it on Mahaprabhu's plate. And Mahaprabhu became afraid of not taking it. Because Jagannanda was he wouldn't eat. He had a very Bauma mood. He was left wing completely. And Mahaprabhu actually became afraid. The dealings between the Lord and his devotees are incredible. Krishna also became afraid. Jagatrini Mataji told the pastime of Krishna's eating dirt and Mother Yasoda, Krishna's Aishwarya Shakti manifest. And because why did it manifest? It was independent. Krishna allows his Shakti's independence, his potency's independence. Krishna was afraid of getting punished. So his independent Aishwarya Shakti manifests the universe within his his belly. So Mother Yasoda would see that and forget about punishing him. And then Mother Yasoda became filled with such awe and reverence, she couldn't consider punishing Krishna. Here I am, an illusion, thinking this boy is my son, and Nanda Maharaj is my husband. And then Krishna began to think, oh no, if Mother Yasoda is thinking like this, who's going to feed me? And then immediately, the Aishwarya Shakti, understanding what's perfect for the Leela, whoosh, disappeared. Well, like when you close Skype, it made like maybe some sound like that. I don't know. It just like disappeared. Because he became afraid, who is going to feed me? And Mahaprabhu became afraid that Jagannanda will fast and he won't eat. It's going to cause so much trouble. So he ate it, and then Swarup Damodar put some prasadam on and said, the dealings are very, 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 very crooked. And Swarup Damodar, warning Mahaprabhu, he said, he knew just how to say it so that Mahaprabhu couldn't avoid taking this wonderful prasadam. He said to Mahaprabhu, you should take this prasadam just in the way that Jagannath has taken it. And he's taken all these things, so you should take it. So, honoring prasadam in that way. So he took that. And then Jagannanda, seeing that he was successful the first time, put more on. And then Swarup Damodar put more on. And the dealings, because they were thinking of Mahaprabhu's pleasure. Not that being crooked is wonderful, but when there is love, love is the driving engine. That's the point in Vrindavan, that love drives everything. It forces the leelas. The prema of the devotees drives all of Braja. Not Krishna, even. Not Krishna's yoga maya. The driver is the love of the Brijvasis. And then there's one description of Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Charya, and they always would argue when they were taking prasadam. Now many times they would argue, and they would accuse each other of different things. And Advaita Charya said, I'm sitting near someone and taking prasadam next to him, and he, what kind of person he is, I don't even know. I don't know where he's born. I don't know what caste he's from or anything like that. And then Nityananda said, this impersonalist, this Advaita is over here. What should we do with him? I'm sitting next to him. My whole spiritual life is going to be ruined by associating with an impersonalist. Devotees, they're teaching us, and Prabhupada explains, be careful of who we associate with. Prasadam pastimes were finished. The sweet interactions with the devotees, between the devotees, are finished. And then Lord Jagannath, before the Rath Yatra, he returns the night before the Rath Yatra. He returns to his place on the altar. And Mahaprabhu hasn't seen him. And the devotees who have come from Bengal, they haven't seen Lord Jagannath. Mahaprabhu has returned from Alalanath just because the devotees had come from Bengal. So no one has seen Lord Jagannath. In 2 weeks, or the Bengali devotees even more. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to visit the temple, Kashishwar walked in front, checking the crowds of people. Maybe we could, if we can. And Govinda walked in the rear, bringing the sannyasis' pitchers filled with water, the karanga, the water. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went towards the temple, Paramananda Puri and Brahmananda Bharati walked in front of him, and at his two sides walked Sarup Damodar and Advaita Charja. And with great anxiety, all the other devotees followed them into the temple of Jagannath. Out of great eagerness to see the Lord, they all neglected the regulative principles. And just to see the Lord's face, they went to the place where the food was offered, where normally they would not even enter. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thirsty to see the Lord, and his eyes became like two bumblebees drinking the honey from the lotus-like eyes of Lord Jagannath, who was Krishna himself. The eyes of Jagannath conquered the beauty of blossoming lotus flowers, and his neck was as lustrous as a mirror made of sapphires. The chin of the Lord conquered the beauty of the banduli flower, and this increased the beauty of his mild smiling, which was like a lustrous wave of nectar. And the luster of the beautiful face of Jagannath increased at every moment, and the eyes of hundreds and thousands of devotees drank the honey like bumblebees. And as their eyes began to drink the nectarian honey of his lotus face, their thirst increased, and their eyes did not leave him. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees enjoyed transcendental bliss upon seeing the beautiful face of Jagannath. There were transcendental blissful symptoms in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body. He perspired. He trembled. And a constant flow of tears fell from his eyes. But the Lord checked those tears because he did not want them to disturb his seeing the face of the Lord. Devotees were focused and fixed, on the beauty of the Lord. Let us pray to Giriraj that we also become focused and fixed on the beauty of the Lord. We will close by reading some sweet, or rather some, we'll just say some words of Vaishnavas, beginning with the words of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. The talkative people will chastise us, and we don't care. We will drink the nectar, the liquid of love for Lord Hari, and drinking this nectar, we will become intoxicated. We will roll about on the ground. We will dance. We will experience ecstasy. May the cowherd boy, who is a festival of ecstatic bliss for the hearts of the fortunate creatures residing in the groves of Govardhan Hill, may that cowherd boy, who is the lover of the gopis, who eagerly enjoys pastimes in Vrindavan's forest, and whose complexion is as splendid as a great sapphire, may he eternally enjoy pastimes in our hearts. That is by Sri Vishwara Puri. Those devoted to poetry may praise the nectar of poetry. And those devoted to Vedic study may praise the nectar of impersonal Brahman. We will praise neither. We will simply take shelter of a flutist who wears a gunja necklace. Those who understand the inconceivable impersonal absolute will find that pure transcendence in their will find that that pure transcendence in their hearts. That is not, however, who is in our hearts. In our hearts resides a charming lotus-faced, lotus-eyed person who wears golden garments and whose complexion is the color of a dark rain cloud. My mind never prays for the post of an earthly king. The post of King Indra does not appeal to it. It does not like yogic perfections. It does not yearn even after liberation. It only runs after the pure supreme Brahman, who, bound by the vine of a gopi's arm, appears like a dark rain cloud and stationary lightning flash in the forest by the Yamuna's shore. I will become a servant of the son of Devaki. Because of my past karma, the path may be rough or it may be smooth. What is that to me? Let the sharp moralists accuse me of being illusioned. I do not mind. Experts in Vedic activities may slander me. They may criticize me, that I am misled. Friends and relatives may call me frustrated. My brothers may call me a fool. The wealthy Mammonites may point out to me as a madman. And the learned philosophers may assert that I am much too proud. Still, my mind does not budge from the determination to serve the lotus feet of Govinda, even though I am unable to do it. The final verse I would like to read. O Lord, you may make me a king. You may make me a poverty-stricken beggar. You may make others respect me or revile me. You may give me residence of Vaikuntha. You may give me residence in hell. Whatever you do, you will always remain the only goal of my life. No one else will ever become my goal. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Giriraj Govardhana ki jai, Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Where would we be without Srila Prabhupada? I don't want to even think about the answer to that question.
Bodhijam Prabhu ki jai. Thank you very, very much for your wonderful presentation.
The devotees
very
are all soft and kind. They brought something out of a rock. Not that rock. Yes, that's what it was. They brought something out of that rock.
They brought Bodhijam Prabhu out of there, Giriraj. Thank you very much also for that wonderful serving of the sweet verses at the end.